Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good morning and welcome to another episode of On Point. I'm on
the board
today. My name is Dr. J. I have with me my man, A. Trey. How you doing?
All right. How you doing, partner? How was your week?
Not bad. I'm doing well. It's been a good week, you know. Any day above ground is always a good day, right?
Hey, only all the time. See, I have a little, it sounds kind of corny, but it's funny, but I feel like any day that you could wake up and there's not a worm standing over you, wearing a bib, holding a knife and a fork, talking about, now this might hurt a bit, you're good. Being worm-free
is not a good thing. well, welcome, and I believe we have Lady Sincere with us.
You know she's quiet.
She tends to be a little reticent in the morning. Lady Sincere, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, sir. I can't complain. You?
I'm doing well as well. We were just discussing how it was probably a bit insalubrious to have worms above you when you wake in the morning.
Yeah.
Only all the time, okay?
Right, there you go. All right. Well, welcome, everyone. We have a very interesting show for you today. We're going to tie it up later on tonight on Radio Phoenix. But this week, our title is I'm Not a Racist, Just a Little Prejudiced. Now, what are we talking about? Are we talking about us? Not necessarily, but we're talking about how it is that people see in black and white. And it's often that happens. And if we see in black and white, why can't we just see a man or a woman and who they are as a person? And we're asking the question, has society become bigoted or more bigoted since we started to break things down into other ethnicities? And I was listening to when he was speaking about that, about when the United States first started being colonized, folks coming over from Europe were not necessarily, they didn't consider themselves white. They were the various different ethnicities. But once we started categorizing, things changed. So we're looking at that. And have our rights changed or become different as we've changed? Are we becoming ignorant? So we'll look at those issues. And this is in our segment today called State of Our Mind. Now, Trey, I'm going to toss it off to you because my question to you is just that. Have things changed enough that people are a little bit more ignorant or bigoted now, do you think? Or do you think it's the same and we're just paying more attention to it?
I think it's a little of both, and I'll tell you why. Well,
okay.
Racism has taken on a more political face, and it's taken on a more technical face. And it's taken on a more, millennial face. But it's a hell of a lot different than it used to be. See, when you go outside now, there aren't any crosses burning on your front lawn. Not a lot of people shooting up your house and so forth. Because, you know, they used to say, and it's a cliche and it's applicable to a degree, you'll catch 1,000 bees with just an ounce of sugar, you know what I mean, and more finesse, less aggressiveness. So now racism, the face of racism, in my opinion, has taken on a more backdoorish type approach. You know, there are a whole lot of things that we could address that appear to be racist in nature, but we'll address those this evening. On RadioPhoenix.org, we want y'all to check us out on Point. But here, this is a different question. Do you believe that you're a racist, or do you believe you're not a racist? Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you go like this, and they go, "Well, I have a white friend." Really? Well, I have a black friend.
I have to put this out there, Trey, and I think sometimes people interchange racism and prejudice as the same concept, and realistically, they're not.
I agree.
Racism is taking control over something when you have, you're trying to amass the resources of a particular area. And once you amass those resources, that allows you to pick and choose what culture or ethnicities get them. That's more along the lines of racism. Prejudice is judging before you know. And I would always ask my students, I said, hey, do I have anybody out there who's prejudiced? And everyone would raise their hand and say no, or leave their hands down, whatever the case was. But I've also asked my students, I said, who of you believe your mom is the best cook in the world? And they'd raise their hands. I said, okay, those are folks who are prejudiced. You're prejudging everyone else's mother because, you know, unless she's won a Mom of the Universe or Mom of the Earth cooking contest, she's not the best cook in the world. So,
but then there's,
you know,
another thing.
Understand
I'm sorry.
That racism and prejudice is, you know, prejudging versus racism.
Yeah. I agree.
And
there's
this is
something
not
else, though, if I can interject.
And
something
have a
else.
Low melanin
something.
Level, Trey.
Something else, if I can interject, is, and with the analogy that you gave, which was great, it was grand, but prejudice and bias are often confused. I said, my baby is the most beautiful daughter in the entire world. You know, now, you know, you look at her and you say, hey, she has a cleft chin and she has 13 toes and her hair is blonde and platinum at the same time. And but it's my daughter, so I'm the father, so I have a bias. I don't know if that could be considered as prejudice. But in regards
bias,
to that
yeah.
analogy that you use. But, you know, you have people, and C. Felt's absence, there's something he said, it kind of got me, you know, but he's not here to defend himself, you know, luckily for him. But there's this, he said that racism is only a structure that exists for those who exude power. And I disagree.
To a certain degree, if you're going to, okay, if I just don't like you because you don't look like me, that's one thing. I have no control over you. The moment I have control over your resources, that falls into the definition of racism because I'm utilizing those resources to control you based on what you look like. That's racism. If two people walk down and think, hey, I hate your guts too, okay, that is, while we were probably on the outside consider it racism, that person realistically has no power or authority. It's when someone has the ability to control your resources and they do it based on the fact that you don't look like them, that falls into racism.
Okay, well, here's something else. You have a lot of people who exist, even today, what do we call them? We'll call them the plantationers. Those are the people who are in their late 80s, 90s, you know, and so forth, who came back from that state of mind that dwelled on the place, on the plantation, you know. And so they used to have this saying, cliche, and pardon me, in everyone's ears, is that the best kind of nigger is a dead nigger. And they told that to their children, and then they told it to their children. And it got diluted, but then you ask the question, and then one of their children asked, well, what's a nigger? What's a spick? What's a wop? What's a goop? What's a wasp? What's a spear chucker? What are these things? What's a wetback? What is this? The definition from well back then has changed considerably. They're not looked at in the same way. As a matter of fact, some of these derogatory statements or derogatory names or titles are used now, as they consider them, from what I've heard, as terms of endearment to even describe their own. So the face of racism,
well, see,
as I stated before, has
go ahead.
It's changed. Perfect example. And we just being real. If you got a person, you got two fellas on the side of the corner. One is Hispanic. One is African American. The person that walks up is Caucasian. they're all three of them know each other. All of a sudden, two of them speak to each other. Hey, what's up, nigga? All right, nigga. Oh, man. How you niggas been doing? And then the last one, he turns, he goes, man, look, it's hard out here for a nigga to try to find a job. Did anybody find anything wrong with that? Anything?
Yes.
Well, I found a lot of things wrong with it. Go ahead, Lady Sincere.
Yes. I'm sorry, just to cut you off, but for one, I wish that word would have never come into existence. I mean, it's sad when we use it against each other as blacks. It's sad when other races use it against each other as well. Perfect example, I was working at a transportation company, and I came downstairs to a lunchroom, and I saw two Hispanics. They were talking to each other. What's up, nigga? Ain't not much, nigga. You know, woo-woo. You know, and so they saw me come downstairs. They instantly said, oh, I'm sorry, not to offend you. And I said, no, you didn't offend me, not at all. I said, why would you think that you offended me? And they said, because we said the word nigga. I said, so you think the word nigga refers to black? I said, if you look it up in your Webster dictionary, you don't see the word nigga referring to a black person. It refers to someone that's ignorant. So that can be anyone, not just say a black person. And I understand back in slavery years that they had the word nigger refer to black people. You know what I mean? It's a long history behind that word, but it's a word that I wish we could put to rest because it's degrading. It's not a good word to say. You know what I mean? You see so many people use it to where it's crazy, man. And let's just put that word to rest, if possible.
I agree with you 100%. And the conversation I had with someone earlier this week was, how can we as black folks be upset with the utilization of the word if we still utilize it? I mean, personally, I don't. I think it's a vile, nasty word to be utilized by anybody. But it's a valid point. If we don't get rid of the word and we utilize it in terms of endearment and all those other things, how do we complain when someone else utilizes it? I think that it has to start there. I mean, you know, and I'm not trying to point fingers and say, hey, it's, you know, it's artists and rappers and all that. That's not the point. The point is, it's bifurcated. I think the first part is that we as a culture were trained to utilize the word. But because you're trained to do something doesn't mean that you have to continually do it. You know, I was trained to fight as a kid. I've gotten older, I realized, you know, that's probably not the best way to solve problems. Okay?
Right.
You know, I used to do certain things in the military that I don't do anymore because I'm no longer in the military. That's just how it is. You can break out of those habits. The problem is folks don't want to let go of things for whatever their reason, and they hold on to it, and holding on to it exacerbates and continues the whole process. I think it's kind of like when you have a virus or a sickness, and you can take medicine and get rid of it, but you don't, and you just do, you know, just the minimal amount so that it doesn't really go away. It stays and it factors and it continues to grow. Kind of like when you take a piece of, you know, the French bread or the sourdough bread, you always take a little piece from the old batch and you hold on to it and you kind of boom it, grow it. It's the same concept. It's the same concept. If it's not destroyed at its root, then what can we do or say? And I think that's the way we have to look at it. There's a whole other... There is a paradigmatic shift that we have to make to be able to see it differently, respond differently, and then enforce it so that it goes away. That's my perspective. Hey, gang, let me just share something. I know I probably threw a lot out there if you want to respond, but I just want to just touch base with something here. I was talking to you last week about the olives that we had and the stuff at Olives. I just want to talk about them really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Stuff at Olives at www.stuffatolives.com, they have great olives, and they have balsamic vinegars, they have dirty martini juice, they have gourmet foods, they have pickled garlic, just all sorts of really cool stuff. And their olives are just absolutely amazing. I love them. But if you reach out to Bob after you place your order at www.stuffatolives.com, if you spend $100, he'll throw in an item of your choice absolutely free. Try some of they have a balsamic. They have a couple of balsamics that are just absolutely amazing. But they have olive oils from Spain, California, and Italy. Give them a shot. Try it. I promise you you'll like the stuff. It's pretty good. But just email Bob at $7.com with the promo code of radio, and he will hook you up.
Thank you.
All right. So I know, Trey, you had something to address. Yes. Go ahead, because, like I said, that was my perspective. And I wanted to take kind of a high-level approach to it and say, hey, here's how we drill it down to what the root cause is, because if you can't get to the root of something, you'll never get fixed.
I agree. You know, like I said, and my thing was to question the roots of racism. And just to say, you know, it's changed. The face of it has changed. It still exists. We'll get into specifics. We don't have the time to get into specifics, but this evening we will. But here's something else. On the object of power, ruling racism, and I get it for, you know, over a resource. I don't know if it's that, you know, like the governor in Detroit and Flint, over Flint, their water. They knew about this since last year. And they said, well, you know what? This is the most impoverished area.
That falls into
the
category of racism.
Hold on. This is the most impoverished area. But you have Caucasians that live there, quite a few, in Flint. Now, the majority is of a different ethnicity. But theirs was a money issue. That would be a prejudice.
Respectfully, I disagree.
How so? Why? Because listen,
if they don't give a damn
and they decide that they can make money, by using a different resource. And they said, you know what? This is the most impoverished area, or this is an area that we can afford to allow it to go because we have a backup. But this will make us money. And they were like, matters a damn who lives there. It matters a damn who lives there. Black, white, Chinese, Puerto Rican, or Asian, doesn't matter. And they were able to make money. That's, I don't see it as being racist. I see it as being
there's some classism involved in there as well.
Capitalist.
Okay. So let me ask you two things. The first thing is, if you walk down the street and you see a guy and he says, hey, N-word.
Wait, does he have on skinny jeans? Because I can't stand brothers wearing skinny jeans.
Okay, one leg is skinny, the other is normal, it's baggy. All right. They're odd jeans.
I'm
pretty. But he yells out to you, hey, N-word. Now, you're probably going to keep on strolling for the most part, and you might have a few choice words for him. But let's say that you get to your destination and you arrive there, and it's the same guy. But now not only does he say that, you're going in to apply for something, and he says, based on who you are and where you live, I am not going to allow you to make this purchase or get this loan or whatever the case is. Is he being a racist?
Is it just me, or is it everybody else that he sees that looks like me?
No, it's – well, right now I'm talking about, okay, everyone who looks like you.
Yeah,
and everyone who looks like you and from you, yeah, he's being a racist. But what I'm saying is, if he walked down the street and said something to you, you can kind of shine it off. But once he takes control of your resources, now it's in a different realm. It's in a different category.
I agree.
That's
what
they're saying is
before he got behind the desk of that resource. So what made him a racist? Was it the resource, or was it his upbringing? Was it a resource or his atmosphere? Was it a resource or his surroundings?
Well, it doesn't matter what made him the racist. If it's controlling your resource, that's what makes him the racist. Even if he was caught or is an accident. Here's the thing. If I can control
I see your view, but respectfully, I have to deter it to another point, another view, and it's this.
Well, that's the point of our discussion. I'm good with
that. And even though he said, you know what, I am not going to take your payment for your phone. Wonderful, because everybody that looks like you always pays in pennies. Okay, great, wonderful, joy. But you know what? He didn't like me before he got behind the damn desk. And when I seen him walking down the street, the only reason why he didn't get his butt kicked was because the store was going to close in 10 minutes. But the thing is he was that person, that entity. He was that ignorant individual before he got behind the desk of the resource. That is not, the resource didn't make him prejudiced, a bigot.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Same guy, let's say you walk past him and he says, "Hey, sir, how you doing?" And no foul exchange. Then you get to, let's say, hypothetically, the electric or the water company, and you walk in and he's like, "Oh." Now he says you can't have this resource based on where you live, what, how you look, who you hang out with, your skin tone, whatever the case. Is he a racist?
Yeah, he's a profiler. I feel you.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
I can agree to that. But
I'm just saying
that my point was to make that power doesn't make you a racist. Power does not make you a racist.
Well, see, I think this is what we're going to do. Disagree.
You got a kid that
because
goes to school
power,
right now.
Without power, you can have a kid with no power at school who calls people names. If he's okay, a perfect example. Trey, you go to school, kid, big bully, and he utilizes racial expression. That kid has a physical prowess that scares other kids. He's a racist. But you have a kid who has 16 pencils in his pocket, wears horn-rimmed glasses, and is really good with computers. He doesn't go around calling people names. Why?
He
weighs maybe 78 pounds. Well, he doesn't have to, but why? If that kid calls people names, what happens to him? He gets beat up, right?
Right.
Okay, does he get beat up because he calls someone a name, or does he get beat up because he's a racist?
Because it depends on the name, but nine times out of depends.
Okay, let's say
he's using
the N-word. He's using the N-word. How many times is that going to happen before that kid is beat up?
Probably once.
Now, the big dude who can take everybody in a fight, he calls people whatever, and people don't really do anything because he holds a physical power over them. This is what I'm saying. There's
you.
Some sort of a resource or a benefit. That's,
right.
That's how I'm saying. Get it through that lens.
Right. But see,
dude,
me, I'm kind of like the difference.
He can't afford to be a racist because he doesn't have power. If you don't have the power to back up or do some damage with that ability, you can't be a racist. A little dude who's good with a computer, unless he can hack your account and change your grade, he can't be a racist. Cause he's
let's go back
up
to that
big
little
guy who can wait for you in the parking lot. Sure, he can be racist.
Let's go back
but
to that old lady. Let's go back to that old lady.
I just want to intervene and say something. That racism, that's something that's taught. You're not just, say, born a racist. That's something that is taught to your child. You know, perfect example, just real quick. My little cousin, she was outside playing, and so a little Hispanic girl was on the way to come play with her because they're kids. You know, so the father saw his daughter coming up to play with my cousin, which was a black girl. So he instantly scolded her, "Get over here. You don't play with them." You know, so the little girl, she looked confused, like, "Well, what do you mean?" She wasn't looking nothing about her color. You know, she just wanted to play because he saw her as a little girl just as she was and wanted to play. You know, it's sad when you teach your child those kind of crazy things about racism. Why not just let them play? Who cares about the color? Let them play.
And I'm with you.
Right.
And
so
here's my thing. And I think
point.
James' part. I think James' point. I think James' point was this. James' point is this. Okay, so the little girl listens to her father.
Mm-hmm.
So therein, the power is exuded from her dad.
Right.
The major racist. But the little girl, she's not him. She has no power. And the moment
she has the ability
like,
to take the right to play with her away from the other little girl, that becomes her power.
Okay, I agree, but the little girl, she picks up the habits of the father. She goes to the playground, and it's her, just her, against four other people. And she says, "No." She says, "We can't play with you because you're brown, and browns are ugly." Well, the other little mm-hmm. girls go like, "All right, fine," and they walk away. Now she has to be stuck to play by herself. She has no power.
Mm-hmm.
Race in that
right,
instance, and a lot of instances
okay.
like it, racism isn't about power. It's about persona. It's about perception.
Right.
Okay,
about,
then flip that. Let's say it was the four other girls who didn't want to play with her because of who she was. Now, are they racist when they walk away and leave her?
Well, it depends on what was taught to make her feel that way.
No, you're saying, I agree. If the poor little girl said, my dad said I can't play with you because of how you look, and they turn and walk away, now they as a group have power. That starts to lead into what we call classified institutional racism.
Hold it. They didn't walk away. I'm with you. They didn't walk away because they felt the same. They walked away because they didn't want to be bothered.
They said, you know what, we don't need to put it around. Say that they were the ones. I'm agreeing with you there. I'm saying let's flip it around and say they were the ones that said we can't play with you because you look like X. Okay. Now, if she was like, well, that's really messed up. And then they then turn and walk away. She's left to play by herself based on what they said. They, as a group, have the power. And that's what I'm saying. It's over resources. It's over controlling something. It's over something that you own or maintain. Because I'm with you, but at that point,
when they turn and walk away, the only thing they control is their own fun. They don't control hers. So they don't play with her at that moment. They didn't remove the jump ropes. They didn't remove the ground, the concrete under her. They didn't remove the basketball court that was over there somewhere. They didn't remove the sandbox. The little girl still has the power to play. She just won't play with them. And at that point, their power is defunct and doesn't exist. It's non-existent.
Yeah. Now, looking at it through that lens, we're talking about kids who don't necessarily have a ton of power. When you move into a situation where you have institutionalized racism or commercialized or any other type where someone takes something from you based on who you are and what you look like, that is
now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that it doesn't exist. I don't, and you're right.
Oh, no,
that
I wasn't suggesting that.
I don't think that it doesn't exist. But my thing is I don't think racism exists because of it. I mean, okay, great. So you take all the things, you take everybody out of a position of authority. No authority. It's a utopian type world. They share the same apples, oranges, peaches, you know, vegetables. They share meat, blah, blah, blah. You know, they go to places all in the same boat, you know. But the thing is, they don't respect the other individual. People go in a room and they don't speak because of color differences, ethnicity differences, background differences, livelihood differences. They don't respect the other people. Racism is a matter of breaking down the idea of respect for something outside of yourself, in my opinion.
Ooh, you know, we're going to have to talk about this more tonight because I think when someone doesn't have power over you, they're a bigot. When they have power over you, they're a racist. So, folks, we're going to continue this conversation tonight on Radio Phoenix. Be sure to catch us from 7 to 8 tonight on radiophoenix.org under the handle of We're On Point. You know, great discussion, Lady Sincere. Hey, Trey, I know, you know, it'd be great for us to continue this, and I'm glad we have the venue to do that. Folks, reach out to us on Twitter at OnPointPHX, or you can email us at OnPointPHX@gmail.com. So make sure you do that. As always, we have a blast doing this. We look forward to hearing the responses. Lady Sincere, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I just can't wait for tonight so we can finish off the second part of it.
Okay, fair enough.
Everybody,
hey, Trey, I know you always have some final words, so take us out, please, sir.
Listen, everybody is exactly the same. You close your eyes, you hear a voice, you know they're breathing, you know they hear, you know they walk. Respect other people. It's that simple. Respect yourself, and you can respect others. Hey, raise your glasses. Bottoms to the top. Remember, every idea is grand, every thought is warranted. And for every step you take and for every endeavor you make, may they always be on point.
On point.
On point.
Peace.
See you tonight, folks.